Do you feel like you have life figured out? In my grandparents' house, there was this poster in the, we called it the mud room or whatever, where us kids could come into the house without making a mess. There's a poster that said, just when I figured out all the questions to life, all the answers to life, life changed all the questions. And with each passing year, I become more aware of how much of life I really do not have figured out. Who does have life figured out? Jesus? From beginning to end, can we say that Jesus has a perspective? Jesus, who is the beginning and the end, has a perspective on life and has it figured out? But it kind of seems like he doesn't. As we heard in today's gospel, it's kind of super confusing. We hear the Jesus that says, love your enemies. You've heard it said, you know, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And now this same Jesus is saying, hate your mother and father. Although that hate your brother and sister part has made sense to me at different times in my life. What is happening here? Love enemy, hate mother and father. Does Jesus have it figured out? Jesus says we must hate and we must carry our own cross and come after him, or we cannot be his disciple. Cannot be his disciple? This is a hard saying, so prepare yourselves. Scholars, when they study this, this is under the list of the hard sayings of Jesus. This is certainly a hard saying. There's a great crowd following Jesus, and he stops and he turns around and he says, you cannot be my disciple if you don't do these things. This is a big moment, and we should pay attention. It is difficult. And it is going to be difficult. But what does Jesus mean? Because this is imperative for those of us who want to be his disciples. I think we all have to come to the basic thing. If we can't start here, we can't go anywhere else. Jesus either knew what he was talking about or he didn't. He either has this life thing figured out and he's speaking a word of love to us, or he's just one another crazy dude. And before you can listen to anything else that I might say tonight, if you don't have that one figured out, you're not gonna understand what I'm trying to say. At this moment, he's not letting us sit on the fence anymore. To be his disciple, we either have to go all in, otherwise we should just go home. That's what he's saying. Hate. What does he mean, hate? This comes from the Greek word miseo, which means literally to hate, just like we understand it today, but it also means to love less. Love less. You must love your father and mother less than you love me. I must be more. I must always be more than your mother and father, than your brother and sister, than your job or any of your possessions. I must be more always, or you can't be my disciple. It brings us to a point of examination of conscience, because we have to ask ourselves now, am I just on for the ride? Or am I really going to choose to put him at the very center, and that nothing trumps Jesus? It's a crux. This is hard because we like sports, but they sometimes conflict with Sundays and making that truly a holy day. Not sometimes, a lot. We like sleeping in. We like staying up late. We like having time to do what we want to do. And that conflicts with doing a proactive discipleship. It conflicts with taking personal prayer time and with serving beyond what we're just asked to do. We like going out to dinner and having vacations at fun places. That conflicts with tithing. and with giving to those who have nothing, who depend on our unearned generosity. We like our own way, and that sometimes conflicts with Jesus' teaching and the voice of his church. Sometimes we hate what we don't like to hear, because that will cause us to change our lifestyle. What do we love more? Our life or our life in Christ? Take up your cross. What does Jesus mean, cross? What does anyone understand by cross? Go back to Jesus' day. If they saw someone carrying a cross, what was inevitably going to happen? They were going to die. Jesus is asking us to give up everything, even our own life. We cannot hold to our way of doing things, none of us, and still be Jesus' disciple. We have to hold to his way. And he's saying through these parables, who doesn't count up and see if they have enough money to pay for the tower? Or who doesn't look to see if they can actually win this battle? He's saying, count the cost, brothers and sisters. Count it now. It's steep. Are you going to be able to pay it? If you want to follow me, this is serious. And it's demanding. Count the cost. This is a hard saying. God doesn't ask for much. He just asks for everything. Brothers and sisters, as a priest who loves you, or is at least trying to love you as best as I can, I guess what I feel like Jesus is telling our community today is that discipleship is a really big deal. And we can't just let it be amorphous that, oh yeah, carry your cross, hate your brother and sister, wife and mother. But it has to take personal root and hit home for us today. And discipleship isn't something that can be done halfway or on the side. And that's why the discipleship plan that the pastoral council has been doing for last year and will do for this coming year and one more year is really important. Because it's geared to making us disciples. And if we aren't willing to change and grow closer to Jesus together as a whole community, then what is the point of pretending to be disciples? I don't think anyone here comes just to look good. And I think that all of us, need to grow in conversion. I think that Jesus established his church to get us to heaven. I really believe that by being obedient to the teachings of Christ through his church makes us better disciples. But it's a struggle. It's hard. I struggle to be a disciple as a priest. I feel the demands of discipleship, and I struggle to pay the cost. There are many sick people, and I have not visited them. Their names are written down on my priority list, and they've been there for months. Still, I haven't gone. How is it that my time always trumps them? There are several families who have not been to Mass or involved in the parish for a long time. I have not looked for them. How will they know the Good Shepherd's solicitous care for them if no one seeks them out? That's when we need people the most to come find us, when we're not strong and when we're straying. I get distracted and tired in my prayer. And I made a solemn promise to pray for you without ceasing and to always deepen my life of prayer at my ordination. Solemn promise. Since I've been here, I'm starting my fourth year here at this parish, almost 100 children have graduated from Archbishop Howard School. They're not in these pews. Most of them aren't. Where have I been? How have I gone out to support them or protect them or encourage them? And there are many other areas in my life that are in need of conversion and where I need to grow as a disciple. And I'm telling you, it's hard. I also know you struggle to be disciples too. I know that there are people sitting in this church right now who not just struggle, but fight against the teachings of Christ's church. I know many of you who are too busy. You're too busy to pray, too busy to spend quality time with your families, too busy to take a step back because the pace of your life is just so hectic and it costs too much for you to give that up. I know there are many of you who have developed a habit of putting Sunday Mass on the back burner. And whenever conflicts come up, it's become a habit that is just okay. Jesus is asking us to love him more than anything else. And why this is a hard saying, I really think it's a joyful saying. Because as disciples, it's not about the obligation, it's about the love. Like we heard in today's first reading, we don't have it all figured out. Who has known how this whole world works, and our minds are just so dark? And in the second reading, Paul talks, he's like, I didn't do this to force you, but so that it might be voluntary. This is all about love. Love Jesus more than anything else. To let everyone and everything be lesser than your love for him. To freely become overwhelmed by his love for you. To follow him wholeheartedly. That's the discipleship Jesus is asking for. There's nothing more practical than finding God, than falling in love in a quite absolute, final way. What you are in love with, what seizes your imagination, will affect everything. It will decide what gets you out of bed in the morning, what you do with your evenings and how you spend your weekends, what you read, whom you know, what breaks your heart, and what amazes you with joy and gratitude. Fall in love. Stay in love. And it will decide everything. Tomorrow, Mother Teresa will be canonized a saint. So ask big for graces, because she cared about the poorest of the poor. And we are poor souls, all of us, coming before our Lord. I encourage you in your discipleship. None of these things are bad, but if they take place of God, then they become bad for us. And I know tonight was a hard message. It was a hard message for me to prepare for. But I didn't feel like it would be right if I did not preach Christ's message to you. And I hope you feel encouraged and that desire coming on fire in your heart to be that disciple that God created you to be, that love that he loved you with might be that which motivates your life, and that you'll be the ones that change the world. Today in our church, Tan and Jenny Bowie were married, and so we have these extra beautiful flowers for them, so please keep them in your prayers as they begin their life as disciples, married disciples in the Lord. Have a great Labor Day weekend, and if you have time for a prayer, pray for all of those who are unemployed, all of those who would love to work, but don't have the opportunity. Especially all for all of those heads of families that are afraid for how they're going to provide for clothing and food and shelter for their families because they can't find work. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Go and announce the gospel of the Lord. Be to God.